WDAE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. President-elect Trump and Melania Trump departing St. John's Church in Washington, headed to the White House for tea with the President and First Lady. Earlier this morning, President Biden issued preemptive pardons for the January 6th committee and for General Mark Milley, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who referred to Donald Trump as a fascist before the election. Also pardoned, the man who helped lead the country through COVID. Here's ABC's Karen Travers.
Dr. Anthony Fauci tells ABC he accepts the pardon from President Biden and is grateful for it. But he emphasized that he committed no crimes. Fauci did say to ABC the threats and possibility of prosecution, quote, creates immeasurable and intolerable distress on me and my family. Throughout his campaign, President-elect Donald Trump vowed to exact retribution on his political enemies. Fauci faced intense scrutiny and vitriol for the government's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Karen Travers, ABC News. The White House.
This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A Wisconsin child has died from the flu. Savannah Tome Olson reports.
Health officials say they live in the northern part of the state. Officials from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services say the flu has been deadly here every year over the last two decades. Respiratory disease epidemiologist Tom Haupt.
Children under five are at higher risk for complications from influenza and RSV, for that matter, and COVID, just because of their age. But also pediatric hospitalizations, if they have any kind of underlying illnesses, whether it's diabetes, asthma, anything that would lower their immune system, does increase their possibility of having complications from these particular viruses.
On average, 1 to 6 Wisconsin kids succumb to the illness each year. Depending on the strain, 5 to 20% of people can get the flu each year, according to the American Lung Association. And now there's another complication, one that has grown since the start of the pandemic, vaccine hesitancy. Fewer and fewer people are getting their flu shot each year.
We're running at 31% statewide right now, which is disappointing. It's a little bit lower than last year, but it continues that decline. It's frustrating because we want to get this message out to people as to the complications and what can happen if the person who is at high risk does come down with complications. Unfortunately, we have this pediatric death.
Haupt says we're approaching the peak of illness season between flu, COVID-19, and respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. When it comes to the COVID-19 vaccine, only 16% of eligible Wisconsinites have an updated shot. Meanwhile, 22% of people above 60 have their RSV vaccine. To find a vaccine near you, you can call your doctor's office, your local pharmacy, or your local health department. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks extend their winning streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks with another decisive win at home, 123-109 over the 76ers. Giannis Antetokounmpo led with 35 points, but he pointed out that Philadelphia was shorthanded. No Paul George, Kyle Lowry, Joel Embiid, all out with injuries for the 76ers.
I got to give them credit. You know, they played hard. You know, they didn't have the main guys, so the guys that came in played extremely hard, played together, they made shots. You know, they did all the right things to have the game that they had tonight.
So the Bucks have now won 4 in a row. They play the Pelicans in New Orleans on Wednesday. College hoops. Wisconsin with a West Coast win over the weekend, 84-69 over USC. The Trojans did score 13 unanswered points.
Defensively, to be able to catch ourselves after that first 5 to 7 minutes when they made a run back at us. And I think this the moxie of the group, they didn't panic. I think that's what makes this team really, really good.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be warmer but windy today. Some sunshine this morning. Clouds will increase this afternoon with a high right around 40 this afternoon. Tonight it gets colder with a low of 12. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, 17. We're going to drop to 3 below Sunday with a high on Sunday afternoon right around 0. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 4 below 0.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out. The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up in the show, more studies show men are lonely. Why is that? What can be done? Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. You know, it's Dr. King's, holiday, and so I have decided that I wanted to play his one of his great speeches. People know about I Have a Dream, but they don't know about these many other great speeches that Dr. King wrote and recited. And so I've taken the liberty this morning, to play The Other America. We're almost done with this speech, and then we'll have some conversation and dialogue. 855-752-4842. So Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Calvin, if you'll continue it, please.
And I'm absolutely convinced that the forces of ill will in our nation, the extreme rightists in our nation, have often used time much more effectively than the forces of goodwill. And it may well be that we will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the vitriolic words of the bad people and the violent actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence and indifference of the good people who sit around and say, wait on time. Somewhere we must come to see that social progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and the persistent work of dedicated individuals. And without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the primitive forces of social stagnation. And so we must help time, and we must realize that the time is always right to do right. Now there's another notion that gets out. It's around everywhere. It's in the South, it's in the North, it's in California and all over our nation. It's a notion that legislation can't solve the problem, it can't do anything in this area. And those who project this argument contend that you've got to change the heart and that you can't change the heart through legislation. Now, I would be the first one to say that there is real need for a lot of heart changing in our country. And I believe in changing the heart. I preach about it. I believe in the need for conversion in many instances and regeneration, to use theological terms. And I would be the first to say that if the race problem in America is to be solved, The white person must treat the Negro right, not merely because the law says it, but because it's natural, because it's right, and because the Negro is his brother. And so I realize that if we are to have a truly integrated society, men and women will have to rise to the majestic heights of being obedient to the unenforceable. But after saying this, let me say another thing which gives the other side, and that is that although it may be true that morality cannot be legislated, behavior can be regulated. Even though it may be true that the law cannot change the heart, it can restrain the heartless. Even though it may be true that the law cannot make a man love me, it can restrain him from lynching me. And I think that's pretty important also. And so while the law may not change the hearts of men, it can and it does change the habits of men. And when you begin to change the habits of men, pretty soon the attitudes will be changed. Pretty soon the hearts will be changed. Now, I'm convinced that we still need strong civil rights legislation. And there's a bill before Congress right now to have a national, a federal open housing bill, a federal law declaring discrimination in housing unconstitutional, and also a bill to make the administration of justice real all over our country. Now, nobody can doubt the need for this. Nobody can doubt the need if he thinks about the fact that since 1963, some 58 Negroes and white civil rights workers have been brutally murdered in the state of Mississippi alone. Not a single person has been convicted for these dastardly crimes. There have been some indictments, but no one has been convicted. And so there is a need for the whole question of the administration of justice. There is a need for fair housing laws all over our country. And it is tragic indeed that Congress last year allowed this bill to die. And that bill died in Congress. A bit of democracy died, a bit of our commitment to justice died. And if it happens again in this session of Congress, greater degree of our commitment to democratic principles will die. And I can see no more dangerous trend in our country than the constant developing of predominantly Negro-central cities ringed by white suburbs. This is only inviting social disaster. And the only way this problem will be solved is by the nation taking a strong stand and by state governments taking a strong stand against housing segregation and against discrimination in all of these areas. Now, there's another thing that I'd like to mention as I talk about the massive action program, and time will not permit me to go into specific programmatic action to any great degree. But it must be realized now that the Negro cannot solve the problems by himself. There again, there are those who always say to Negroes, why don't you do something for yourself? Why don't you lift yourselves by your own bootstraps? And we hear this over and over again. Now, certainly, there are many things that we must do for ourselves and that only we can do for ourselves. Certainly, we must develop within a sense of dignity and self-respect that nobody else can give us, a sense of manhood, a sense of personhood, a sense of not being ashamed of our heritage, not being ashamed of our color. It was wrong and tragic that the Negro ever allowed himself to be ashamed of the fact that he was black, or ashamed of the fact that his home, ancestral home, was Africa. And so there's a great deal that the Negro can do to develop self-respect. There's a great deal that the Negro must do and can do to amass political and economic power. within his own community and by using his own resources. And so we must do certain things for ourselves, but this must not negate the fact and cause the nation to overlook the fact that the Negro cannot solve the problem himself. A man was on the plane with me some weeks ago, and he came and talked with me, and he said, the problem, Dr. King, that I see with what you all are doing is that every time I see you and other Negroes, you are protesting, and you aren't doing anything for yourselves. And he went on to tell me that he was very poor at one time, and he was able to make it by doing something for himself. Why don't you teach your people, he said, to lift themselves by their own bootstraps? And then he went on to say other groups face disadvantages, the Irish, the Italians, and he went down the line. And I said to him that it does not help the Negro, it only deepens his frustration for unfeeling and sensitive people to say to him that other ethnic groups who migrated or were immigrants to this country just 100 years ago or so have gotten beyond him, and he came here some 344 years ago. And I went on to remind him that the Negro came to this country involuntarily in chains, while others came voluntarily. I went on to remind him that no other racial group has been a slave on American soil. I went on to remind him that the other problem that we have faced over the years is that the society placed a stigma on the color of the Negro, on the color of his skin, because he was black.
If you're just joining us, this is a Dr. King's The Other America. It's a speech that he gave in 1968 at a university. And if you just, you know, listen to some of the things that he is talking about, he's talking about something that almost even exists to this day. They're two separate Americas. And we can't, you know, it's hard to move forward in a nation when people aren't willing to think about the history and what transpired and where we are today. So, you know, 855-752-4842 is the number. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. We're just about done with this, and then we'll begin our conversation.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
All right. Welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. You know, I've been playing the speech, The Other America, by Dr. King, and I'm going to leave it there. It's probably about 10, 15 more minutes of it, but I think it's important that we have a conversation about where it is, how we got to where we are, and the fact that we still live in a nation that has not been able to come to grips with the fact that all men are created equal and endowed with the unalienable rights of truth, justice, and all of those things that Dr. King spoke about, but more than Dr. King, that Christ himself espoused. So let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Teresa from Kansas City. Hey, good morning to you, Teresa. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the phone call. You say what?
Good morning. I say it's a shame, but many people are afraid to speak out, almost like speaking against Trump. We've developed a fear, and that's not right at all. We should always speak up for those that are less fortunate. And we're just a paycheck away from being there. I'm a paycheck away from being there also.
Teresa, thank you very much. Really appreciate the call. Let's go to David from San Francisco. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Hey, morning, Earl. And I wasn't sure which speech you were playing there.
It's called The Other America.
Yeah, I caught that just a minute ago. The one beyond Vietnam. Apparently, I'm not sure if the King family still refused to allow it to be played. You can find it online.
But, no, I know about it thoroughly. That, you know, there's so many great speeches, but that one about Vietnam was his death warrant. And people believe that that was the reason that he was assassinated. It was all right as long as he was looking to, you know, integrate lunch counters. But when he started talking against the war in Vietnam, that was his death warrant.
Well, right, and you know one of the lines that caught my attention. He was talking about liars in positions of power. You know that we, the people, own this country. We hire, managers. A president is not supposed to be a king or a lord or something like that. They're supposed to be the managers of the potholes, to make sure that our stuff is fixed, and that that we don't get cheated in road tar. And the idea that in the case of Vietnam, we only learned toward the very end of the war that it was really an oil war, that the huge oil field was discovered off the shore of Vietnam. Apparently, it ran all the way down to Australia. And the that war was not, for communism. It was about whether the oil companies were going to get to use it. And then, of course, there were a lot of minerals in Vietnam. But the idea that we basically just destroyed with the Agent Orange and the nasty, bigotry and hard feelings that were developed, by these oil barons, that they couldn't give up their oil. And that translates all the way right now to Gaza, where they discovered oil straight underneath Gaza, and Chevron has the mineral rights to it, and Chevron also has the mineral rights to fracking offshore of Gaza, and that these old boys are going to pretend that they're religious and it's God's will that that land be passed over. But in fact, it's the oil companies. And I'd sure like to see if Netanyahu and his fake, Zionists, his fake religious crowd, would try to be stewards of the earth, that they're going to try to clean up the vast oil spills and fracking, water table damage when they start doing fracking out there.
Well, David, what I would say to you is the fact that many Americans don't know the history of why the Vietnam War, any of those things, took place. And the people who fought the war were the poor black and the poor white who fought the war, as in many wars, and they fought for the wealthy. And so part of what, I like to do is at least give people a perspective and give them an understanding of what has transpired historically in this nation, in hopes that we won't repeat it. And so, as a black man who lived through the civil rights struggle and look at where we are today, there's frustrations. And Dr. King clearly tried to point that out. And so that's what, this speech is about. 855-752-4842. We'll continue the conversation. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Wisconsin is experiencing the most bitterly cold temperatures of the season. Dr. Cheryl Bedno with the State Department of Health Services. Cheryl, you'll need to watch out for frostbite and hypothermia. Frostbite is for the freezing of the skin and deeper tissue. Hypothermia is where our bodies aren't able to keep as warm as we can in colder temperatures. Bedno says people need to layer up, limit their time outdoors, and make sure they're staying hydrated. Following bitter cold and dangerous wind chills today and Tuesday, temperatures are expected to moderate starting Wednesday. With the dangerous cold spilling into the state this week, it's important to keep an eye on pipes to make sure they don't burst. One mistake people make is not having the heat on high enough in your house. The thermostat needs to be set to at least the mid-60s, even when you're not home. Crews during the past cold snap were running at full capacity with pipes already breaking, so it's important to be prepared. Close gaps around doors and windows. Don't let drafts in. Experts suggest pipe insulation or foam, and let small drops of water drip from your faucet. It helps reduce pressure and help prevent freezing pipes. If you do wind up with a frozen pipe, shut the water off and thaw it out. Space heaters are efficient, but it's important to use them safely and make sure they are monitored and away from flammable materials. The Department of Health Services is launching a new digital campaign to highlight the risk of menthol tobacco products. DHS says menthol remains widely in use, with sales increasing over the last decade. In Wisconsin, 9,300 young people under age 18 will try cigarettes for the first time every year and half start with menthol.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Hollywood is still mourning the loss of director David Lynch. Tributes have inundated social media the last several days for the Oscar-nominated creative force behind Eraserhead, Blue Velvet, Lost Highway, The Elephant Man, and The Straight Story. Lynch's colleagues are also paying tribute. Sopranos creator David Chase says no one who creates a long-form drama on TV was not influenced by Lynch's iconic Twin Peaks. Lynch was a one-time Wisconsin resident and passed away last Thursday at the age of 78. Speaking of Lynch, actor Kyle MacLachlan says he owes his entire career to David Lynch. The director cast the now 65-year-old actor in Blue Velvet and also made him the lead actor in Twin Peaks. MacLachlan called David Lynch the most authentically alive person he's ever known. That is some serious praise. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be warmer but windy today. Some sunshine this morning. Clouds will increase this afternoon with a high right around 40 this afternoon. Tonight it gets colder with a low of 12. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, 17. We're going to drop to 3 below Sunday with a high on Sunday afternoon right around 0. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 2 below 0.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. When the UNCL, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better, and they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College, I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit uncf.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome one of Wisconsin's very own, comedian Tom Clark. Then Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and I discuss award season. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Sweetheart.
All right. Welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You know, today is Dr. King's holiday, and so I chose to play one of his many speeches. This one was The Other America, and it pointed out, you know, I mean, you know, I grew up in that point in time as a young boy, you know, 13, 14 years old, 10, 11, 14 years old, I'm watching Dr. King, you know, on television, and, you know, I'm living in a community, and I'm going through a lot of different trials and tribulations and watching how people of color were being treated in this nation. And so, you know, I can't forget that. And, you know, part of the fact that there's a holiday for this man who gave his life fighting for civil rights and fighting for the rights of others, the downtrodden, the poor whites. He didn't just fight for black people. He fought for justice for all. Let's go to Richard. Good morning to you, Richard. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
You know, the last gentleman you just talked to, about the oil thing there, I think he's partly correct. I'm like you, about the same age, and I was not in Milwaukee, but I was on the outskirts. And I think, you know, I talked to people there that were in the areas where the rubber plantation trees were. And that was the safest place. I think Martin Luther's speech came at a time when there was more family loss and the anger, you know, of the whole situation just became more and more there was more to it.
It's, you know, there was, more to what, sir?
There was more anger, you know, more personal involvement.
And personal involvement in what?
In the war, because of family losses and the situation. And I think possibly some people that had so much hatred that they realized that Martin Luther had a lot of numbers and a lot of power, and it was going to start affecting them more. And it's kind of like today, you know, the anger in politics.
Dr. King clearly spoke at a time of upheaval in our nation, and he challenged the moral fiber of a nation that spoke, and president speaking about the morality of our nation and the inclusiveness of our nation when it wasn't the case. It was not happening. And so he challenged that nation to live up to the things that it said it was. The nation certainly was not living up to that. And so when he got involved in the conversation on the war, he basically signed his death warrant. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what, sir?
I say it's cold out.
Yes.
But good morning. Happy Motown Monday. Real quick, you know, we simply don't respect our history. Both Eisenhower and Kennedy warned us about the military-industrial complex. And, you know, Martin Luther King, may he rest in peace, did everything he could to continue to shed light on what many people didn't want to believe existed. And to the last caller's point, you know, when the draft was ongoing, everybody had skin in the game. Nobody was immune. Your number was up, you went in. And that's why so many people were exposed to the threats. But the most important part of this call, I think, is again, recognizing history. We don't respect it. With the dumbing down of our reading capabilities, certainly other parts of our education has significant holes. And when we look specifically into these wars, and we can talk about Vietnam, since we're talking about MLK, we learned, through the Pentagon Papers and throughout investigations in the 70s, that it in 80s, it was an unnecessary war. So Martin Luther King was correct. He was right. He was not inflaming riots. He was speaking truth to power. And we, the people, got it. We all of a sudden, we began to have, church committee hearings on assassinations. We had Pike Committee hearings that revealed things like the CIA-run Operation Mockingbird during the mid-60s and late 60s for the sole purpose of keeping the drumbeat of the war. So the value of history, and again, talking about things like Operation Mockingbird, which was the CIA's behind-the-scenes disinformation campaign. By revealing these things, they suddenly, go away, or they, sometimes they come back and rearrange and, looks a little different. But the best safety and security a nation can ever have is full transparency. And unfortunately, Martin Luther King, while revealing these transparencies, became a victim in the CIA-run machine.
Well, he knew, the threats that he got, on a daily basis, sometimes 50, 100 threats on his life. He knew what the outcome was going to be. But, it's part of the reason why I am such an admirer of him, and the fact that he really lived his life and attempted to live his life in challenging people to live up to the creed of what our nation said it was. And that was a difficult thing, because there are people who, the average citizen, who didn't know the things that our nation was doing behind the scenes and didn't want to accept that. But thank you very much for the call, Mike. I agree with you. Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. You say what?
Well, happy Martin Luther King's Day.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I have a couple of things. First of all, if Martin Luther King were still alive, I'm sure he'd be very disappointed that nothing has changed. Racism has gotten no better. Materialism's gotten only worse, and so has militarization, which is a sad thing. And I would just like to say, what a difference in the type of people that were followers of Martin Luther King as opposed to those who are following the felon.
You know, Cindy, it is pretty amazing. Dr. King had, his enemies, but he certainly tried to do what was right, and so that's what he did. He died trying to do what was right. We need more people who are willing to step up and challenge wrong when they see it. And so that's why I respect him so much, and he lives in me, because he was a servant and he dedicated his life to trying to make other people's lives better. Thank you very much for that honest call. Let's go to Lori. Good morning to you, Lori. You say what?
Good morning. Now, wouldn't it have been more appropriate to have our first black female president inaugurated on Martin Luther King Day instead of this black buffoon that we have? And apparently hell has frozen over and Satan can't handle it, so he's having a sainthood ceremony held inside while his worshipers are left out in the cold, because these people are still going to show up. But that seems indicative of what they can expect for the next 4 years under him, that while he's in and his wealthy people are inside, the billionaires, millionaires are enjoying the party, they're going to be outside in the cold wondering what happened.
Hey, Lori, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to CJ. CJ, you're up.
Thanks for taking my call, Earl. Happy Martin Luther King Day. an inauguration day. I don't know if you heard the victory speech last night, but he, President Trump, future candidate, elect President Trump, said he's going to release all records for the assassination for John F. Kennedy and also Martin Luther King. And I wonder what your response is to that.
Here's my response to it, CJ. I would rather he do what's right for the majority of the American people and not do something symbolic. You know, releasing records of people who may have committed criminal acts and they're all dead, what does that accomplish? I would much rather be concerned about what he is going to be doing henceforward to improve the lives of the average citizen.
Well, I agree, and I think I hope you have an open heart and mind to watch his retribution of success, because that's what he's claiming. So,
what do you mean by retribution of success? What does that mean in English?
Well, everybody was claiming that he's going to, you know, attack his political foes. But
hey CJ, CJ, I didn't mention Donald Trump one time. I spoke about Dr. King, okay? And that's what I've been talking about, okay? What do you have to say about that?
Well, once again, I, like Dr. King, have a dream for my four daughters.
CJ, did you hear the speech was about the other America? He didn't say anything in this speech about I have a dream. He challenged America to be truthful, to live up to its creed. What are your thoughts on that?
We elected our first mulatto president, so I don't think we're as racist as you want to claim.
I'm not a member of any party. I told you before, I don't belong to the Democratic Party. You can't make me belong to a party. You may belong to the Republican Party, but I clearly don't belong to any party. And that's a fact. I never have. 855-752-4842. You know, it's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
News from the center, WRCE.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I'll say this before we go back to the phone lines. You know, I am a person who is never going to forget those times. And my ancestors who are in their graves, who knew and who had to deal with the injustice of a nation at that time that did some incomprehensible things. And nobody alive today had anything to do with that. So this is not pointing a finger at anybody who's alive today. But for heaven's sakes, we can't act as though it didn't happen. That's the part of it that I think is what worries me the most. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. I'd like to say happy Motown Monday and happy and solemn Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Happy for the birthday, solemn for the other events taking place today. I'm heading to the dentist, so I don't have a lot to say, but I just like to say for myself, I believe this is going to be a big year. I mean, you know, an important year going forward. I know there's things going on in my life this year. And I'd like to also say that in honor of Dr. King and everyone involved, I'd like to commit my own, you know, time that I have this year to service and in order to, you know, combat the forces that we're going to see creeping up any minute here today and going forward for at least the next 4 years. And what you said really quickly, I'd like to say that, you know, yeah, there's no pointing fingers at people for things that happened, you know, 40, 50, 60 years ago. But I don't believe there's anything wrong with pointing fingers at folks, honestly, that to this day refuse to believe and refuse to act on the things that we clearly know have been happening for many, many, many years to all folks that are, you know, oppressed and marginalized in this country and in this world.
You know, Eric, I look forward to working with you because you are a young man who gets it, who's willing to stand up for what's right, and we need more Eric's in the world, man. Thank you very much. Hopefully things go well with you at the dentist. Really appreciate it. You know, it is, whether we want to accept it or not, many of us, the federal government has made today a holiday. And it's made today a holiday because of that man and what he fought for and what he stood for. And so it is sometimes more than frustrating to me that, you know, when a person's willing to give their life, he died at 39. He had a family. He knew what it was he was risking. But he, you know, he did that. And he did some great things, and this nation realized it. And unfortunately, many years after his death, capitulated and did what I think was the right thing, and that was to recognize the work and commitment that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King put in to try to make the world a much better place. And in the end, that's what it's about. And all of us had a capacity, the ability to improve the lives of someone else if we can attempt to put our feet in the shoes of somebody else. You know, that's what needs to occur, and hopefully we can get that done. Thank everybody who made the show go. I really appreciate it. You know, I do some things that aren't, you know, what you normally hear or do on radio, and I can't help it. I'm going to keep doing that. That's who I am, as long as I'm given this opportunity. Up next, Jane Matinee, Greg Bach. Hey, wrap up, stay warm, you know, and see you guys on tomorrow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will cover the inauguration in Washington, D.C., and also talk about who the next civil rights leader might be for Martin Luther King Day. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch, and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. People are being led into the Capitol Rotunda ahead of today's inauguration. The Trumps and the Bidens about to depart the White House on their way there. ABC White House correspondent Karen Travers has more.
President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden welcomed President-elect Donald Trump and Melania Trump back to the White House this morning. "Welcome home," the president said to Trump as he greeted him at the top of the North Portico steps at the front door of the White House. The Bidens and Trumps briefly spoke before posing for a photo and then heading inside. President Biden confirmed to reporters he left a letter for the incoming president, but didn't say what he wrote. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Earlier today, the president issued a preemptive pardon for members of the January 6th Select Committee, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and former Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Mark Milley. President-elect Trump is promising to sign dozens of executive actions later today. This is ABC News.
You can always